There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. And phone number, text line, they're the same. The Mallory Piping text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Also the same phone number for a good old-fashioned phone call. And if you want to leave one of those talkback messages with the FM Talk 106.5 app, I like that as well. When you open up your app, you'll see a microphone icon, like at the bottom of whatever they call it, landing page or front page, whatever it is. You see the microphone icon. You press that, lets you record a message, and it emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air as well. Good to get this man back in studio. It's been, I always say that, it's been too long, but it has been too long. We want to do this. I'm going to put him on the spot. We're going to get him in here on the regular. Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood, good to see you.
Good to see you, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is what I do. This is unfair. This is my, I want to do something where we do this six times a year, no matter what's happening.
I'm in.
Okay, good. So presser yesterday, and stemming off just the continued violence that, and when I say our city, you can say other cities deal with it. I know it. But this is my city.
Sure.
You know? And yours as well. You feel this, obviously, for your job and as a citizen. So with that frustration comes hopefully action moving forward on this.
Right. It's good to see that our federal partners are focused in on this issue involving gangs, especially the international gangs. It's good to have an administration in Washington, D.C. that is focused in on this. I think that closing our borders first thing when President Trump took office was a huge part of this. And now we have Tom Homan and all the other agencies. They are finding these international type gang members and they're deporting them. And they're doing it at a pretty astonishing rate. Here in Mobile, we have our own local gang problems that, of course, are very different from the international gangs, and we've got some tools that we're using to focus in on that and target that at a state level, and we're going to find them and we're going to prosecute them.
I want to get into the hows of that, but to go out of your wheelhouse for a second to the federal side, so the story coming out about using RICO, and I mean, anybody's watched a mob movie, it's a RICO Act. You got the got him on the RICO Act. And so just give us, how does that work? What is the RICO Act? What is, you know, people go, oh, it's an acronym for racketeering. But, I mean, what does it do?
Well, it goes after criminal enterprises. And we don't have a state RICO Act.
Right. It's a federal thing, but I'm just looking for a little education.
It is a federal law. And some states do have it. But
oh, really?
Really, okay. I think Florida might have one. But it targets a criminal enterprise. So that, I mean, everybody knows the Al Capone story and all mm-hmm. of that, but it targets the enterprise to really stop the conduct. And
is it because, like, Al Capone, that's a great example for us to work off of. Al Capone might not have done the crime, right? It's agents of Al Capone that did the crime.
That's right, and it's in furtherance of the criminal enterprise.
I didn't do it.
Now,
I'm just, you know.
Right, and Al Capone may not have done the exact conduct, but it.
But he gave the order to do the thing.
He gave the order, yeah. And it was done in furtherance of the criminal enterprise. What we do have that is similar to RICO, and we've had it since September 1st of 2023, is that we have a Criminal Enterprise Act that allows us to use kind of a light version of a RICO law to go after these local gang members here in Mobile.
Okay. And so for education here, let's say we got whatever gang. It's a Sullivan gang. And Big Daddy Sullivan's on top of this thing. Big Daddy didn't go do the shooting, wasn't selling the drugs there, but it's his gang that's doing it. Before this, would you have to catch Big Daddy Sullivan selling drugs or shooting somebody to get him, even though he was giving the orders for the other people? Is it that simple, or is it more complex?
Well, it's a little more complex because we have had criminal conspiracy statutes on the books for a long time. So if we could have proven some communication and then an overt act,
you'd have to have a recording of me saying, "Go sell those drugs." Yeah,
yeah. Recording would be awesome, or testimony of some kind of communication, and then there's some kind of overt act toward accomplishing the criminal end. Then, you know, potentially conspiracy there, but our Criminal Enterprise Act allows us to be a little more broad in how we target this gang activity, and we're using it now, and it provides enhancements in sentencing. It provides new offenses that we can actually indict for uses of firearms in varying degrees that adds consecutive time to those enhancements.
Okay, so if I'm understanding what you said now, it's more, and obviously in your world, you know, in the judicial branch, I mean, you're about getting these people convicted, keeping them in prison, keeping them off the streets. On the law enforcement side of getting them, right? I mean,
right.
You know, RICO to me is a way to maybe get them. I know it's judicial, but I think law enforcement as well. Does this also help police make an arrest to bring in front of you, or?
Well, in a case using our criminal enterprise statutes, police are already going to be investigating for, in most times, some kind of underlying offense, whether it be a trafficking offense or a homicide offense or some other shooting into, you know, some other violent offense. And then there are facts and circumstances surrounding that allow us at the DA's office or executive branch too. The state is confused mm-hmm. about that because in the budget we're under the judicial branch. But we're an executive agency and this law allows us to use those facts and circumstances. If there is a confederation of people, a network, a conspiracy, even an understanding that they are in a gang, and then the defendant meets at least three of several enumerated requirements to be a gang member, and that activity was done in furtherance of the gang activity, then we can apply these enhancements. And if firearms are used, there's a five-year enhancement for the mere possession of a firearm. If the firearm is brandished, there's a seven-year enhancement, and all of this is consecutive time to what they get on the underlying offense. And then if the firearm is discharged, there's imprisonment of not less than 10 years consecutive to what they get on the underlying offense.
Okay. Well, Keith, I'm looking at this wondering, obviously that helps you keep them in prison, keep them off the streets.
And that's day for day. There's no good time. They have to serve. If it's 10 years, it's 10 years. And if it's a machine gun, including a Glock switch that is used, that is a 30-year enhancement.
And this is all on top of whatever the charge is for the thing they did in the first place.
That's correct.
Now, I'm wondering this, and maybe this is more nuanced, but does that let you get somebody from the Sullivan gang? Okay, you get that person. Now they're facing here's the time. Does that help you get to cut the head off the snake?
Does it
help you turn people and get
it
them?
It does. You know, let's say the Sullivan gang, we get a couple of you guys for trafficking marijuana. Mm-hmm. Okay, Class A felony. Ordinarily, that would be 10 to life with a mandatory split time. Well, under the gang enhancement, that now becomes 25 years mandatory time. And if you possessed a gun during this gang activity and drug trafficking, if you just possessed it, that's five more years on top of the 25.
So 30 at
and
that
so,
point.
That's right. And this is real time.
So there's a better chance that one of those people in that gang is going to tell you who called the shot.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah, I mean, it gives you the ability to keep that criminal in prison for longer, but also it must help on the leverage side.
I think so. And you know, our goal is to get these gang members off the street. Our ultimate goal is to dismantle these gangs. They have no place in our community. They have brought us nothing but violence. They've flooded our community with different drugs. So our ultimate goal is to completely dismantle them.
You know, talking about the gangs here, and this has been this discussion, I know it's been written about. I've talked about it for, you know, we're getting tomorrow 16 years for this radio station, but doing interviews in the early days, it was and I would call out names, and but I mean, people would say, "Well, we really don't have gangs. We have some people that know each other."
I remember that.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah, I've been prosecuting for over 17 years now. It's no secret. I didn't grow up in Mobile. I grew up outside of Athens, Alabama, in a cow pasture, mm-hmm. as I like to say. Mm-hmm. And when I came here and started prosecuting these cases, I saw clear cases of gang activity. And the administration at the time was very different, and they denied that there was gang activity in Mobile.
What do you think why? Look back.
I don't know. I guess they wanted Mobile to appear different than what the reality was. I'm very thankful that we've had an administration the last several years that has changed Mobile considerably and made it so much better, more marketable for people to come here. Sure, we still have issues that we're dealing with, but we're getting through that. But back then, when that prior administration denied that there was any gang activity, I actually called them out on it in a news article about a case that I had. And I remember the reporter, I remember it like it was yesterday. She looked at me and said, "Do you really want me to print that?" And I said, "Yes, because it's the truth." And
that's good for you.
And we've been dealing with it ever since.
Because you were somebody who could say it from that status as a prosecutor. There were so many else of us out there go, "Dude, that's, I'm not law enforcement, I'm not a prosecutor, but that's gang activity."
Right.
And they said, "No, well, it's just some people that know each other."
And now our administration recognizes the problem. Our law enforcement has units devoted to this. And now we have laws with teeth that will allow us to prosecute it.
Because I, did go overly simplistic. Until you identify the problem and give it a name, how do you ever tackle solving the problem?
I couldn't agree more.
All right, coming right back with Mobile County District Attorney Blackwood. Your questions on the text line, we could do that at 343-0106, and we'll be back right after the news.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 1:22, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. And it's a conversation that has been a long time conversation, but now I think has over, like you said, we're talking to Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood, now has a name we can use. I mean, this stuff has been going on, but now over the last several years, we can say it's gangs.
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on for a number of years, especially I think with the rise of social media, where a lot of these gangs presently in Mobile kind of exist or they're organized around. It's pretty clear that we've had gang activity a long time. I think when I first came here and started working at the DA's office, everything was more neighborhood-based, regionally-based within the city. Now you can have rival gang members living right next door to each other because it's all connection on social media.
You get their private Facebook page or something like that, or what?
Yeah, it's Facebook, Snapchat, all the other platforms that are out there. There's some new ones that I'm educating myself on now, it's social media based and not necessarily location based. And a lot of the activity revolves around the use of social media.
Really?
When it comes to producing, very elaborate, in most cases, rap videos and monetizing that, promoting their activity through those videos.
We've seen these cases made in this crossover of that world and the rap world. So that's not a one-off.
No, that's not. We see case after case where, we'll have a rap video. I've seen cases with a rap video. It's a murder case, and they're rapping about
murder. They're going to kill so-and-so. Yes.
Right. Or they did kill so-and-so. And
To me, that's not well thought out.
Well, it's not. And they don't come out and say it directly like I'm talking to you directly. It's in a kind of an artistic way. You can read between the lines,
yes.
If you want to call it that. But a lot of it is based around rap culture. It's based around trafficking in drugs and in guns. They are organized into hierarchies with people at the top that are producers.
Can you tell me what you were telling them, what you told me during the break, that there is an actual, y'all listen to this, there's a structure to this.
Yeah, there's a structure to them. You've got the people at the top that are the producers. I guess they're profiting off of all of this illegal activity. You've got lieutenants underneath them that have a certain role. A lot of those might be the ones you see doing some of the shootings that happen. And then you've got people at the bottom that are more of the foot soldier types that are trying to get involved at the higher level and do the shootings.
Do anything to move up.
And, you know, we're fortunate to have law enforcement that's very in tune to this. We are in tune to this at the district attorney's office. We know how they're organized. We now have tools that we can use, including the criminal enterprise statute I referenced in the last segment. That took effect September 1st of last year. We're prosecuting right now our first case with two co-defendants using this criminal enterprise statute. The rest of them are kind of pending in grand jury right now. We will go through a review process to make sure that we indict every single one of these that we can so that we can use these enhancements.
This probably might be undefinable, but from your perspective of 17 years doing this, how much of the gun violence we see in Mobile or the county is linked to these gangs? I mean,
I would say the vast majority of it.
Like if the gangs were gone, magic wand stuff, gangs were gone, would we see a noticeable drop in gun violence?
I think you'd see a very noticeable drop. And we do have a juvenile gang gun problem, and I think that's where the problem really lies for the most part. I think, sure, you know, you're still going to have situations that go wrong and bad things are going to happen.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't think it would be gone completely human beings let together, you know.
And I mean, I'll tell you this. I'm in one of the only businesses I know where I'm trying to go out of business.
Yeah,
I'm trying
like to get rid of like
I would love that. I would love to get rid of all the crime and go sit down at Dolphin Island, but we know that's never going to happen. So we're always going to have bad things that happen, and you know we're going to be
horrible things.
That.
I mean, we can go through the list of the people shot. You know, this is what I can say, I guess, as editorialist. When if bad guy versus bad guy goes somewhere with no good people and shoot each other, I don't care. I mean, I don't want it happening, but I really don't care. But it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. Innocent
you got,
people
you got people
get
people
caught
at a organized basketball game at a great looking Sage Park.
Yeah,
and we're going to ride by and we're shooting everybody. We're shooting the whole covey to try to get one.
Yeah, and that one's still under investigation, so I don't want to get too far down into the weeds, but some of the things that we have been talking about are probably going to apply there. Another case I'll give you that you're very familiar with is the Kaylee Knight case.
Mm-hmm.
Some clear gang activity involved there. We are not using these criminal enhancements in that case because they are charged with capital murder, which is an even higher level than what these enhancements give us. But that's another case where an innocent little girl got caught in the crosshairs of some foolishness between rival gang members.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem – I don't hear the stories where they went out – and not giving anybody ideas, but at the end of the tarmac at Brooklyn and stood, you know, and turned and shot, you know.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Cases like that do happen too.
Let's encourage that.
I'll tell you that in a case of a shootout like that, I think we would be on pretty good footing just to prosecute everybody involved. Of course, both sides in a case like that, a gang shootout, they're going to claim self-defense. It's going to be a question of who shot first, but I think we're on good legal footing. That if that were the case, we would just charge everybody and try to send everybody to prison.
Okay. Well, that happens some, but the ones that get my attention are the ones like we're talking about, that this is going on.
Yeah.
And there's people that are doing nothing wrong that get shot.
Yeah, it's absolutely tragic. And we cannot abide that happening.
From the text line here, this from, I guess, unnamed texter said to ask you, do the young thugs and gang members know the penalties for these Glock switches? Of course we do, but maybe they wouldn't do it if they knew about what the penalty was.
Well, that's going to depend if they educate themselves on it, I guess. We put out information about new laws coming on. And I want to address the Glock switch law. We got a Glock switch law passed in the State House this term. It's effective right now. And there's been a lot of question about, you know, did we really need it at the state level since it was already illegal at the federal level? And my answer to that is yes, absolutely, we did, because now local law enforcement can make an immediate arrest, whereas before, local law enforcement couldn't do that. They would have to call our federal partners, who would come in, and then there's could be a days-long process before an arrest is made, or a months-long process while an investigation is being done before an arrest can be made. So now with our new state law, local law enforcement can make that immediate arrest and get that criminal and that Glock switch off the street.
And the nice thing, too, is it doesn't mean that the feds can't be part of it if they
Correct.
Have higher sentencing.
That's right. And we work hand in hand with them on all manner of issues, and that's one that we'll continue to work with them on as well.
All right. Coming right back, more questions for Keith Blackwood, Mobile County District Attorney. He said gangs way before you were supposed to say gangs. I appreciate that. And we'll continue that conversation when we return.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I'm going to holler at my friend Anna at Mobile Bank Coins and Fine Jewelry. And I've talked about this before. A gentleman, she's like a living, breathing algorithm when it comes to jewelry. When you bought one thing that got a smile at the house, she can help you find the next piece and the next piece. She's very, very good at that. In addition, she reminded me, shockingly, last month that May, which is tomorrow, is graduation month. And these graduates are expecting stuff. What did you said you got some new silver rounds in?
Yeah, we do have the graduation rounds still available. If you needed a gift, you don't have to even overthink it. You just buy them an ounce of silver that has, you know, happy graduation, I'm proud of you, graduate, all that on it. And you could personalize it, but you'd have to leave it here with me to engrave it. But if you needed a quick gift, that's always possibility. The 2025 Silver Eagle is a good, that's a 1 ounce to find silver too. Good gift for graduation. And May also has Mother's Day in it too.
You got that right. Yeah, let's talk about it. That's one of the championship games of the year for gift giving. So what do you have for Mother's Day ideas?
We have jewelry. And like you were saying, if you get something this year, for next year, I can keep you in mind for something else to go along with that set you're getting or trying to build up. Or, you know, we have sterling silver jewelry. We have fine gold jewelry, 10 karat, 14 karat, 18 karat. And then we also have diamond jewelry. We have precious gemstones, earrings, rings, necklaces. We have coin jewelry, you know, jewelry that's got a coin that you can wear around your neck or a ring. We have that available.
Good stuff. All right. So you get the process started. When they come see you, tell them how to find you.
Yes, we're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile, just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
All right. Thank you, Anna. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Anna checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Let's go straight to the Mallory Piping text line and questions coming in for Keith Blackwood. First one, this was from, I think, Scott. How many gangs do we have in Mobile?
It's tough to put an exact number on it because a lot of them are changing and evolving. I would say that we probably have 8 to 10 at any given time, but that is something that is constantly evolving.
Okay. So that's, I mean, I don't know what the right number to me is, zero. So
right.
that's significant. And this story is on the international front, and I understand, you know, the removal process for these folks is a federal issue. But, you know, we're talking about went from 17 years ago, you're saying, hey, if it, you know, looks like a duck and, you know, walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
Yeah,
it's a gang.
I used that in a closing argument one time.
Did you really? Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I mean, gang's a gang. So, and I'm glad you were saying it back then. Now that we've changed here, you know, over the last 4 or 5 years and calling gangs out, then we get this story of arrest of a gang that a year ago I couldn't have told you Tren de Aragua from Adam's house cat, but I can now. And then arrests are made for them here in Mobile. So not only domestic, international gang.
Yeah, and I think that's a sign of just how pervasive these gangs are in the United States. And they were allowed to become that way by an administration in the past that completely ignored the borders. They ignored this activity going on in the United States. And, you know, we were flooded with illegal alien criminals. So it is very concerning that one was found here in Mobile, although to me it's not that surprising. I think we have a completely different administration now, which is why we're seeing these arrests. But, you know, this needs to be on everybody's radar, and we need to cooperate with our federal partners, which we are at the DA's office. You know, we might arrest an illegal alien for a particular state crime. We're working with our federal partners, making sure they're notified of immigration status, although we don't have anything to do with the immigration proceedings themselves.
But what you're telling me sounds a lot like my conversations with Sheriff Lowry, Sheriff Birch. I said, you know, how have things changed? And I heard, you know, yesterday at the press conference, things happened in Washington, and now these federal agencies can do, y'all were working together anyway.
Right.
Like, you know, Sheriff's Department, they said, well, we'd call if we had somebody without documentation and this and that. And they kind of talked about what would happen or not happen. And now they're saying, we call and here come the federal people that this is their job. And they pick up right there.
That's right. And I've noticed since January at the U.S. Attorney's Office and offices around the country that there has been a renewed focus on immigration and on deporting people that are here illegally, especially the criminals. I saw the news in some of the news that I follow. I saw the other day where at the White House they were actually putting out, you know, they look like political yard signs, but it's pictures of these guys with their charges that are getting deported. And it's crazy to me that this administration has to go to such extreme lengths to force the national mainstream media to cover these success stories of getting horrible criminals off of our streets and out of our country because they don't belong here. It's amazing that this administration has to go through, you know, those measures because it's not being covered in the national mainstream media.
It is interesting, too, to think about how this, okay, so the relationships were there between Fed and state and county, but with a change in Washington, a change at the top, and a different directive, I didn't realize, you know, omission versus commission, that those agencies from above were hamstrung to some degree to do things in the past. I didn't think about it until I see the spigot open the other way and go, wow, okay, it is just that difference in Washington that trickles down to, you know, here on Airport Boulevard in Mobile.
It is. And, you know, I'll say this about our local U.S. Attorney's Office. You know, since I've taken office and even before that, we've had a great relationship, great working relationship. But I do think that, you know, they were affected by Main Justice in Washington, D.C. And under the Biden administration.
That's
an absolutely real thing. And during the Biden administration, they were hamstrung in a lot of ways. Which they are not under the Trump administration, and that makes a real difference. I think we're going to see them being authorized to target a lot more violent crime than we saw under the Biden administration. I think that is a great thing. Because we have such a good partnership, we will be able to, you know, work a lot of these cases from the state side and the federal side.
Come back to the text line in a second. I want to ask you this one. Shooting into... We hear that with a lot of these, you know, and they've had horrible outcomes. Yeah. You know, people that are, like I point out, maybe not legally, but in Sullivanese, people are doing whatever normal people do.
Yeah.
They're asleep in the bed. They're sitting watching TV on the couch. A woman's in church praying, and they get shot.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I can't tell you how many of those cases I've seen over the years. And those are particularly tragic, especially when it's a completely innocent person.
They're in there just doing regular people stuff.
Right, right. And it's been a Class B felony. I think it should be a Class A felony. I think with a gun enhancement, you know, make the minimum sentence 20 years, just like on a Class A robbery or a murder. I think that a shooting into should rise to that level.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like because you don't know what's there, then you don't care.
Right. That almost makes it worse.
Yeah. You know, yes, because they're not even. And I hate, because this is a dangerous, the ice is getting pretty thin under me here, but if you're in a shootout and you're shooting at whatever other bad guy and the bullet carries on and hits the good person, I still think you're a dirtbag and you're gone.
Right.
But when you shoot into the walls of a house, you didn't even see who your intent, not even know if they're there. It's in a weird way to me, it's even worse. And then you hit somebody innocent.
Yeah, it completely is. And you know, we've made a renewed focus at the DA's office to really put some teeth to get to those cases, get whatever kind of prison time we can get. They belong in prison. We'll take those cases to trial all day long if we have to.
I don't know if that bill is – did it clear the Senate to change the enhancement, or did it
– I can't remember if it passed the House or the Senate. I know it's still in the works. We had –
there's only 4 days of session.
Issues in Montgomery where they weren't working together and kind of fighting with each other for a while.
But this would, and tell me, taking it from a Class B felony?
B felony with a gun enhancement, the range would be 10 to 20 years. Taking it to a Class A felony, if the legislature passes that and the governor signs it, with a gun enhancement, that would make it 20 to life.
Okay.
Or 99 years.
So basically, it's the same kind of idea as we talked about the, and I don't have the right word for it, the criminal enterprise legislation that's already out. It gives you more leverage.
It does, absolutely. That would give us a tremendous amount of leverage in those shooting into cases.
All right. Connor says, my brother lives in Midtown off Spring Hill on the south side of Three Mile Creek. He told me that the popping sounds he's always hearing coming from across the creek were fireworks. Yeah. Maybe on 4th of July. But
could be.
We talk about that, too, and, I've had that conversation with police chiefs and sheriffs about when it was, hey, you need to call when you start hearing shooting. You know what's sad is for the longest time I wouldn't do it because I felt like, well, they know. I mean, it's just shooting. I don't want to bother anybody down at MPD or something like that.
What we need the public to know is that they do need to call. And in fact, I was at a DA's business meeting over the weekend. You're going to love this, at the Grand Hotel,
okay?
Which is a great place to have a business meeting.
Yes.
And one of the groundskeepers there is somebody that I talk to every time I'm there for the business meeting. He always finds me. He lives in Mobile, and he was showing me pictures on his phone of these juveniles that were on his street and clearly had what appeared to be guns under their shirts. He did the right thing. He called police. His complaint was, response time was slow, which, people have different ideas about that. And MPD is quick to respond, and I've experienced that myself. But circumstances happen. But what I told him was, keep doing that and encourage your neighbors to do that. If you see juveniles with guns, if you hear gunshots, people need to call. And the more that happens, the more response we're going to get and the easier it will be to tamp down on these shootings and this violent crime.
But you know where that comes from. If I see them with the gun, it's one thing. But just hearing the shooting, before that was discussed and brought openly, I'm not going to call them. Of course they know. It was that feeling of, I'm not going to call down there and have them go, yeah. Until they came on and folks with MPD came on and said, no, we want you to call.
They do.
You know
MPD
what I'm saying? That feeling, like, I didn't want to be
the old
man looking out through the blinds saying, I'm hearing shooting, but to hear that they actually want to know about that is important.
Yeah, they do. And, good citizens need to come together, and it's going to take all of us. We can't arrest our way out of it. We can't prosecute our way out of it. It takes the whole community of good people coming together to fight this and to end it.
Well said. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, where it's always inventory talk. And another six in our conversation now. What'd you get, man?
We got three trucks came in. We got a crew cab Silverado. We got two crew cab Rams. One's four-wheel drive, one's two-wheel drive. We got a Ford Explorer came in this morning, and then also a Honda CR-V. And the Honda CR-V, of course, we do our normal stuff and look at the Carfax and the CRs and stuff from where we buy them, the condition reports. But every once in a while, you'll have one that you just can only wait. The only way you can describe it's in the wrapper, and that's this car. It's a one-owner. CR-V is a really, really nice little vehicle if anybody's looking for one. It's a 2013. It's an EXL, so it's got the equipment, the sunroof and everything. Something that makes somebody a really nice car under 15 grand. So come check that out.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, not to, you know, tell parents what to do, but it is graduation season. Just saying.
I'm telling every parent to buy a son and daughter a car.
It's right.
mine are all in college except for one, and I'm still buying them cars.
Yeah, preach, brother, preach. Tell folks how to come down there and check out the inventory we're talking about and everything on the lot.
Well, we're located on Highway 90 at Plantation Road. We're on the corner right there at the red light, so we're easy to find. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call directly at 251-375-0068. All these cars that have come in today should have pictures on the website now. We just got through doing that. So you can go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com, and check them out.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
Yeah, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with Mobile County District Attorney Keith Blackwood. Well, let me go here to the Mallory Piping text line. Billy says, Keith Blackwood's doing a great job, in my opinion. Also, what happened to shot spotters or whatever they are called? Hopefully they don't fall in the same category as all the security cameras we have around out of order. But the shot spotter's been gone for a while, right?
I believe so. And, you know, what exactly happened there, I'd have to refer everyone to the city. You know, that was a city project, and we heard, you know, a lot of news stories coming out of that last year.
The camera thing, I know, not in your office, that's not something y'all do, but you're also, you know, citizen. If we're going to have them, I'd like to, as a citizen, everybody got to go throw $5 in the fishbowl or something like that. Let's get them up and running.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, cameras, surveillance cameras certainly help us a lot in the cases that we prosecute. I know that the mayor's administration is doing a lot with the Parks and Recs Department to rectify some of that. I've heard some great news, and I, you know, look forward to having all those cameras working. And hopefully nothing bad happens at the parks from here on out, but if it does, then that would certainly be a huge assist for us.
Yeah, I mean, for what you do, because we talked about this the other day, some of these people are so violent and so don't even think about it, it may not stop a crime, but let's at least get them after they do it and get rid of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's not just cameras at city parks. You know, we're able to use these doorbell cameras in a lot of cases. You know, there's a lot of cameras in neighborhoods that are tied into the, you know, Mobile Police Department, Project Shield. That helps us out a lot. But, you know, everybody's got a camera in their hand now, so that's often a lot of the evidence we get. But I don't think these violent criminals really care that there are cameras when they're out there right. In these criminal activities.
Oh, I don't think it does either, but at least it gives you...
It gives us a tool after the fact to hold them accountable for sure.
Yeah, if they're making drill rap songs about kind of what I did, maybe I did artistically, or doing the videos that show up on social media of the stuff.
Right.
They're kind of helping out the cause maybe with evidence. Mob Dog says, will all gun violence crimes be raised to Class A felony if passed by the legislature? The person who shot me in the back when I was unarmed only got 15 years, and I personally don't think that's long enough. He was charged with a Class B felony.
And that was probably assault first, and that is a Class B felony. Again, 10 to 20 would be the range on that, and I'm sorry that happened to that person. You know, a lot of gun crimes should be enhanced. It's crazy to me that, you know, if you point a gun at somebody and threaten them, it's a Class A misdemeanor. If you point a gun at somebody and say, give me a dollar, that's a Class A felony. So, you know, I think there should be some, we should take a look at some of that. And I think we should be enhancing these penalties for gun crimes.
And I've, you know, over the years watching this, it is on your shoulders because I think these laws, these changes, these enhancements, lead to keeping people from coming back out into society.
Yeah.
I wish I thought that the bad guys went, well, in fact, they've enhanced this thing, so I'm not going to go do the thing I was going to do. I think the dirtbags will still do dirtbag stuff, but at least they don't get to come back out as fast.
Right. I mean, if we can keep the, you know, dirt bag in for as long as possible, then they're not out committing more crimes. You know, also on the front end, you know, we're trying to do a lot with addiction, with mental health, with all of this to really try to prevent people from getting to the point where they become violent criminals. I think that we're going to see a tremendous amount of success with that. It's a, you know, crime prevention strategy, because I don't want to just be reactive. You know,
100%.
I spent my entire career being reactive for the most part. And, you know, I do a lot of prevention efforts with alternative courts. We're in schools with Helping Families Initiative, working with kids, getting them in school. I think that is going to have just as much a hand in preventing violent crime as, you know, prosecuting violent crime and putting the bad guys in jail for as long as possible.
I'd love you to hear you say it that way, because I feel the same way. Let's run you out of business, right?
Yeah,
let's make you not have a job to do, but you're going to have a job to do for a while. But to slow the number, I 100% agree with that, to slow the number, because just the plan of prosecuting and putting people in prison, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's important. It's a hugely important component of this. We have to prosecute and hold the people accountable. But at some point, you got to stop the supply. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll leave on this one here. I think this is good. Pat says, it's pretty rare I say this, I guess, for people he votes for, but he said, I'm actually glad I voted for you.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I appreciate that.
Good stuff. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, we'll do it again 6 times a year at least.
Let's do it.
All right, Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next.